You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Now, South Africa is hemorrhaging over 5 billion rand a year to telecom fraud, and that's just the start. SIM swap attacks now account for around 60% of mobile banking breaches. The Communication Risk Information Centre, or COMRIC, has released its 2025 sector report, and it's warning of a crime wave that is crippling infrastructure, undermining digital trust, and also threatening national security. But the organisation says we're not powerless if we act now. So let's talk a little further about that. COMRIC Chief Executive Officer, Advocate Tokozani Mvelasi, a very warm welcome to you. 5.3 billion rand in losses. That's a lot of money. How did we get there?
Jeremy, thank you so much for inviting me into your show. So the 5.3 billion is a combination of the various types of digital fraud events. Like you just stated in your introduction, the 60% link to SIMSWAP. SIMSWAP is amongst the others that contribute to that 60% banking fraud issues. But we also have subscription fraud instances where we, as network operators, we are under siege by organized crimes who go to our stores and purchase services with all fraudulent information that you can find in this country. And we are unable to detect them in most cases. But also we have instances where SIM box machines are used to bypass pay charges that network to network are charged. So it's a combination of the various digital fraud. And also we have scams that are linked to these types of events, where these digital scams lead to someone losing their money or financial asset. So it is a combination of various digital fraud links that we have.
Let's go to the mobile banking breaches and that figure of 60%, if we can, stemming, as you say, from SIM swaps. Who's failing us here? Is it the banks or the networks?
I don't think there's the issue of someone failing who. It's just that the criminals have managed to bypass various authentication that between the banks and the mobile operators exist. Criminals are using the evolution of technology to bypass the various security features that we have. From our side as network operators, we do quite a lot of verification checks before we can process a SIM swap. In our report, we even indicated that in a quarter, we process almost about 3,600 SIM swap requests. Out of that, only 3% accounts to SIM swap fraud. However, from the banking point of view, where someone is in charge, you are in charge of your banking app. The question is whether what are the authentications that you need to go through for someone to even access that. So it's really not that as the network operators are failing the society or the banks, the criminals have managed to bypass and are doing that, but we have reduced this over a period of time. Actually, there was a time SIM swap was the biggest problem that as the network operators were suffering from, but we have really reduced the search. Because also we act on a conflict. We have to always keep people connected. So when we receive that SIM swap request, we have to do our best to make sure that Jeremy is always connected. But we don't do it without verifying quite a number of information to make sure that the person who does the SIM swap is the legitimate user of that mobile device or that number.
There's no doubt it is a crisis. And in that respect, is either government regulation too slow or law enforcement not adequate to deal with the problem?
Yeah, I think from a law enforcement point of view, the enforcement is really needed. But also from the regulatory point of view, we need to start looking in terms of the evolution of digital fraud, but also the evolution of technology that enables crime to change its pattern, and whether our regulatory landscape is up to date. It's like every time when I even make mention of the issues of the OTT, which is your over-the-top players like your WhatsApps, your Instagram, where now you can even make calls undetected using those applications. In this country, those are not regulated, but they operate on our infrastructure. So you have those issues where also the regulator needs to act with speed. From a law enforcement point of view, it's sometimes the challenges of understanding the telco crime. And that's why, as the network operators, we've raised our hand to partner with law enforcement to help them understand the types of crime that we're dealing with, because that's the challenge as well. We need to bridge the gap, Jeremy.
The danger, of course, is that you highlight progress, but are we getting better at reporting it, but perhaps not preventing it quick enough?
I think we're getting better on both. It's what is lacking, which we have identified, is that we need to do more on creating the awareness, actually. Because if we look at the statistics of some of the targeted victims, it could either be the elderly, the illiterate, but also people that are in areas where probably the communication that is made doesn't reach them. So we need to do better. And it's not only that the telecoms industry, we're also talking to the financial services that probably we need to join efforts in these awareness that we need to do. Because if we do the awareness, that's your better prevention. We can use our own analytics to do some detection, but if we don't prevent it from the root cause, which I think awareness, we go a long mile to make sure that we get to the prevention stage, and we need to do more on that. That's my call.
So, a final question then. Failure to act decisively, I imagine, in the next 12 to 18 months is going to cost the country a lot of money. What's the big call to action here in terms of a unified approach or plan?
Where Combrig is, one thing that we really asking for is that there need to be collaboration not only within the telco universe, but we need to also have more cross-sector collaboration and be able to share various intelligence and case studies so that we can work closely enough in terms of preventing some of this. But also, what is critical as well, we need to make sure that we work with our legislators to make sure that they enable the processes for us to be able to be even exchange threat intelligence that various sectors might have, or also that various member operators that might have. If we can enable the legislation that it makes it easier for crime prevention initiatives, we can collaborate even better, because I think the fear of collaboration is also constrained with regulation that have to do with competition laws or POPIA and so forth. And we need to find a way how we navigate that, but still complying with some of those legislations.
Well, there's absolutely no doubt that figure is staggering. South Africa losing something in the region of 5 billion rand a year to telecoms fraud. Advocate Tokozani Mvelase, thank you very much indeed. He's the Chief Executive Officer of the Communication Risk Information Centre.